Welcome to Voice Blind, a short series of Q&A with artists and researchers in Amsterdam. This project is initiated by Arias and is giving platform to critical voices to unpack artistic processes for conducting research and methodologies. This is an invitation to listen on one of the most pressing issues in artistic research today. Like a cloud sailing in the sky, like layers of practices and knowledge that overlap and move away, Voice Blind invites you to enter the world of artistic research. In this new episode, we had the chance to speak with Sabine Niederer, Carlo De Gaetano, and Andy Doquet. They will introduce you to the Visual Methodology Group and unpack their interest in the visualization of climate change and their current experimentation and research. Then, we'll get an insight into their project, Turning Into the Birds, a program written by an IA and edited by humans, which are postcards for a not-so-distant future, and provide us a glimpse of a life in a world that is heavily impacted by climate change.
Hi, I'm Carlo De Gaetano, and I have a background in communication design, and I specialize in information visualization. In the last years, I focused my work on the concept of images as data, and more specifically on how we can look at images online to study complex issues like climate change.
My name is Sabine Niederer. I'm professor of visual methodologies, and I have a background in art history and new media studies.
My name is Andy Doggett, and I'm a research fellow at the Visual Methodologies Collective.
So the Visual Methodologies Collective is a research group at the Amsterdam University of Applied Sciences. We're specializing in developing visual methods and tools for the study of visual culture, and not just visual culture in general, but basically the visual cultures that arise around societal debates and social issues. So one past project in which we've studied climate change compared the visual language of the topic of climate change across platforms. So we looked at different social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, but also search engine like Google, and looked at which kind of images performed best in those platforms. And what we did was not only experiment with ways in which you can study the visual language of such an issue, but also in developing a visualization technique that renders visible at a glance what these different visual languages are.
Visual methodologies for me is also a critical design attitude that should always be at work when studying such complex and divisive social issues. And it's not only about coming up with new methods to collect and visualize group of images or using data visualization as a tool to aid social research. And as a designer, it also means taking care of what you're studying, like trying not to pollute it with your own assumptions, be transparent about what you take and from where and how you transform it. It also means opening up the processes behind the visualization and inviting people not only to look at it, but to actively respond to it.
Quite a few years ago, we did a project at a summer school of the Digital Methods Initiative, or was it a winter school? I don't know, one of the schools. And during that project, we looked at sort of the success of climate storytelling. And one of the projects looked at indeed which books were doing really well on Amazon. And we found out that there was this whole genre called cli-fi, so climate science fiction, and took the best-selling titles, basically. In another project, we looked at the comment space, and we looked at all these other things like recommendation systems were the overall theme. But in the study of the climate science, climate fiction books, it was, the best-selling, I think, on Amazon was a starting point.
I remember that also a box full of those books was delivered to us.
It's true.
During the summer school.
They arrived a little bit late, but we had a whole collection of these books. that we now indeed sort of reuse also for this project. Yeah, it's true.
So we've been prompting the model that we made with the top 20 cli-fi novels, which we made with GPT-2, which is a language generation model by OpenAI. And what we've been doing is prompting that model with different phrases and different paragraphs of text to try and get a literary response. We stumbled quite by accident onto the diary format, because a lot of the science fiction is, or post-apocalyptic fiction, is written in a diary format. It's kind of a trope that, or a format, I should say, that just repeats again and again. So just by chance, we started prompting the machine with random dates, you know, Tuesday the 4th of July or Saturday the 9th of September. And then we could get the outputs, and just by like magic, it started outputting in diary format. So we were thrilled by that. And then we had to go in and quite heavily edit some of the earlier trials that we did. But as we trained the machine more, it got more and more fluid. And so the editorial decisions now come down to what do we leave out more than what do we put in, because the output is just so big.
I think it's relevant to say that this is actually an experimental process, and also for us was a way of, first off, learning how to co-authoring with the machine, so how to test all these machines and how to use them, to know their limits and to also understand the workarounds to make better results and more interesting results. And I think also for generating images in our project followed somehow the same approach with the text. So we started with a pre-trained model trained on high quality faces, human faces, and this was because, yeah, first of all, it was an experiment, and also was an accessible data set that allowed us to generate high quality images, so big enough in terms of resolution. And another thing I think it's important to mention is that now, so before, like, training machines and training algorithms was kind of inaccessible. So, especially for designer, artists, so on. So you really had to know, to have a lot of knowledge to build these machines from scratch. While now, more and more, they're opening up new platform services like Runaway ML that allows people without special knowledge on this topic to test and experiment, to train sets without the need of using a lot of data or collect a huge amount of images. So that goes also for the image part. So we basically fine-tuned a pre-trained model trained on faces, on human faces, with like a quite small data set, around 500 images from cli-fi movie posters and climate fiction novel book covers. And it's actually surprising to see how fast the machine learns from your inputs. So it immediately, it's quite fun actually, because you can, at the end of this process, you can export a short movie clip, a video clip that shows you how the machine goes from the original data set of faces to the interpretation of your smaller data set of movies and books. And it takes no longer than 3 or 4 hours to gain some interesting results. And it's not about replicating the same exact images of posters and covers, but it's about getting a sense of what's happening there, and and basically find something new in the machine-generated images.
And then what I find interesting is when we start reading these images again, and of course interpreting them with our own limited frame of mind, so still we do see a harbor, maybe, or a fortress, or some kind of graveyard, or trees. When of course, in fact, what we're looking at is a fully synthetic interpretation of what's in the set. And it's that interesting in-betweenness, so it's trained on real input and real images, but it's outputting something strange, literally strange to our eyes, that gives it that, maybe sort of inspirational aspect of that we were looking for, where we are trying to be surprised and learn new perspectives, new images for the future and of the future. So for the next fragment, we've worked together with Janine Armin, and she'll be reading one of the diary entries of Turning to the Birds.
Friday, 7th September. This is it. I'm down to only 3 pages. The chapter where I go to sleep with the baby swells with the changing world. It's crazy. Every page is a new chance to test my knowledge. I try to stay current, but it all feels as if there's less than an hour left before my brain floods and fills with data. I lay it out. Now, according to my notes, your chapter starts on page 251 and last line is 459. I could just barely write that. It's so hard to concentrate when everything's suddenly moving so fast. It occurred to me as I was lying on my bed that if I wrote down everything, including the things I didn't notice, that if I put it all down, just in a zipped envelope, it would be counted as having been done. At least I'd be rid of the messy coffees.
Yeah, so I think we're at a point that we can really start thinking about other applications of the machine that we have created, or the machines, in fact, that we've been working with. And I think one of which could be a tool with which to predict possible futures in which the climate plays an important part. So it's connected to reality, but it helps us rethink and imagine futures.